Ooh, everyone say, ooh. Spooky. So spooky. See if you can scare your neighbor. Some of you are just scary to look at anyway, so it's... Oh, Pastor Jeremy, how do you... Yeah, I said it. What? All right. Hey, it's great to be back at Jackson Square. My gosh, it's been a long time since we got to be at Jackson Square. And it's rocking in here, man. You guys are running out of room. You got two services coming up for Compel Night. Unbelievable. We kept getting stuck at Rubicon. They had some needs over there that we had to help them with. But it's good to be back. You guys got a cool LED screen. It's pretty cool. The video announcers are like large and in charge. They look like they could eat you or something. It's kind of cool. Anyone notice how all of our Edge announcements guys talk with an accent when they get on Edge announcements? Just saying. Something about the microphones at the Edge. I don't know. Like if you talk to Esther normally, she just talks like a Singaporean. But when she gets on stage, she's a little bit American. It's just something in the microphone. Maybe it's my spit. Well, October 31st, Fright Night. Everyone say Fright Night. This is going to be great, man. On Halloween night, we are going to do the biggest outreach that we've done this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've never done anything like it. And instead of your friends going to that stupid thing at Universal Studios, you need to bring them to Fright Night here. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, and we're going to lift up the name of Jesus in our generation. Someone say, yeah? Are you with me tonight? Well, listen, I want to talk to you for a few minutes. We're going to kick off our series, Paranormal Activity. And so if you brought a Bible with you, I want you to turn. I want to read you a few verses, then I want to jump into this, to Luke chapter 11. Okay, Luke chapter 11. Go ahead and find it. Luke chapter 11. And man, everyone did a great job tonight. Chiquet, you guys, worship team, did a great job. Where's Joel Tsang? Where's Tsang? Where'd you go, Tsang? Where are you? I see you. Toilet. Oh, man, it's just... He was so intense on the drums that he had to run straight to the toilet. Funny story, true story, while you're finding Luke 11. I was here early, and I went into the toilet here, and two guys, like, went in. They went in the stalls, and then it sounded like they were having a little trouble doing whatever they needed to do. And then they started, like, talking to each other from inside the toilet stalls. And I just thought, that's so awkward, you know? Like, if that's you, lift. No. Okay. No, did a great job, Esther. Awesome. And Ivan, where's Ivan at? That was a cool offering time. Did you guys think Ivan did a good job? Come on. We have some great leaders at the Edge. Great preachers. And you need to let them know, man. You need to say, hey, good job. You need to slap them, smack them, say, yeah, support them. We want to be encouraging. Well, Luke chapter 11, if you're there, say boo. All right, Luke chapter 11. We're going to just read from verse 14, okay? Verse 14. It says this: one day, Jesus cast out a demon from a man who couldn't speak. And when the demon was gone, the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed, but some of them said, "No wonder he can cast out demons." One of them said, "He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons." Others, trying to test Jesus, demanded that he show them another miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. And he knew their thoughts, so he said, "Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart. You say, 'I'm empowered by Satan, the devil, red suit, pitchfork.' But if Satan is divided and fighting against himself, how can his kingdom survive? If I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too, so they will condemn you for what you said. But if I'm casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God," or some translations say, "the finger of God has arrived among you. For when a strong man..." Do we have any strong men in the house? Okay. "For when a strong man," very spontaneous, proud of you, "like Satan is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe until someone even stronger, like Alistair, comes, overpowers him, strips him of his weapons, and carries off his belongings." Listen to what Jesus said. They said, Jesus casts out some demons. I need some sound guys to move the mons up here for me. I know you look comfortable back there, but sweat it out a little bit. He said that Jesus casts out a demon, and they said, oh, we know you cast out that demon because you're full of demons. You did it by the power of Satan. He says, a kingdom divided is never going to stand. So there's no way, like, Satan's going to cast himself out of somebody. And then he says this, you don't enter the house of a strong man to take his stuff. No, you were good the other way. Yeah, that's cool, though. Thank you. Yeah, it's awesome. You don't enter the house of a strong man to take his stuff unless you first bind up the strong man, unless you overpower him, then you can plunder his goods. And what he's saying is this, Jesus begins to show a distinction between two kingdoms. So we're going to talk a little bit about paranormal activity and the supernatural tonight. Pray with me, and then we're going to start. Lord, we thank you tonight for your presence in this place. God, we thank you that you're here to speak to us. God, that you speak through your word. So, Jesus, we pray, speak clearly, Lord, through my life tonight. Lord, we ask that you would come and let every one of us encounter you. Lord, we believe that you're here in reality. You are here in power. So right now, let your Spirit's power, Father, be resident in this place. We take authority over every unclean thing. We take authority over every spiritual resistance and command it to cease in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray tonight that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said? Everybody said? Come on, Jackson Square. Everybody said? Amen. All right, here we go. So Jesus starts to lay this out, and this is a crazy story. The Bible says he casts out a demon. Demons are real. We'll get into this a little bit during the series. If you've ever had questions about the supernatural, you don't want to miss a week of what we're going to do in this series. And immediately people confront him, and Jesus starts to lay out and say, no, you know what? I'm not of the kingdom of darkness, but another kingdom. And what you find in the Bible and in reality is this, that there are two realms. Everyone will say two realms, the spiritual and the natural, okay? The spiritual and the natural. You ever had someone tell you, oh, man, you're so spiritual, you know? Maybe you had a testimony at Connect Group or you said something like really spiritual sounding. Oh, you're so spiritual. You know what? You are spiritual and you are natural. If you are sitting next to someone who's spiritual and not natural, that's freaky, all right? They're a ghost. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. If you're sitting next to someone who's natural but not spiritual, you're sitting next to a zombie. That's kind of weird, too. But every one of us has a spirit. Everyone say spirit, right? And I'm pretty sure, because I can see you, every one of us has a body. There's a natural component to us. There are two realms that we live in, that we interact with, and both of them are just as real. Some people don't really put as much stock in the spiritual realm, in the supernatural, because you don't see it with your eyes, so it's not so apparent. But just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's any less real. And Jesus put it this way. He goes, hey, you know, when the wind blows, you don't see it, but you can feel its effects. And that's the same way with God's spirit. And it's the same way in the spiritual world, that the spiritual realm has real impact on every single one of our lives. In fact, when you and I put our faith in Jesus, we get a shift in the spirit. How many of you know when you put your faith in Jesus, your body didn't change? When you said, Jesus, I believe in you, you didn't lose 20 pounds. That's not how it works. I mean, if we did, churches would just be growing like crazy. But when you put your faith in Jesus, something spiritually shifted. The Bible says you went from darkness into light. Come on, are you with me tonight? You made a shift. Everyone say shift. Come on, tap your neighbor, say, I'm shifted. There's a shift. So Jesus says there's two realms. And, you know, isn't it amazing how our generation is so drawn to the supernatural? I mean, year by year, it's like more and more rampant. In this season especially, I mean, how many movies are coming out about supernatural things, about hauntings and about poltergeists and zombies? And, I mean, zombies are really out of control. Did you watch Maze Runner? Oh, my gosh. Why did no one tell me that it was a zombie movie? I thought it was going to be guys running around in a maze. And it's like almost peeing my pants, man. This is really freaky movie. And it's just more and more. And people are enamored with this. Video clips online, people trying to prove like, oh, look, I saw a ghost move something in my house and I caught it on film. And, you know, all of this kind of stuff. People just get drawn to it out of the curiosity. Does this stuff really exist? Is there really something beyond the normal? We had like last year, I think, or the beginning of this year, there was this big phenomenon online, right? Everyone was doing this Charlie game, and people were drawn to this. Could it really be? Could there be forces beyond my life? Well, we're kind of interested in it, but sometimes we don't put enough stock in it. And we start to make up weird superstitions. Some people really believe there's ghosts. Maybe it, you know, I don't know, maybe you've heard the stories and your army camp has ghosts in it, you know, and you're a little freaked out of those things. Some people believe maybe you got too into Twilight and you think you're a vampire, you know? And, you know, if you sparkle when the light hits you, maybe you just need to take a bath. I'm not sure. Maybe you're into werewolves, or I don't know. I know some people that really believe there's mermaids, man. I mean, that's weird, okay? You need to put that aside. The internet is full of this stuff. And you know, sometimes we get enamored with that stuff, too. We get drawn to it. And for some reason, we're especially drawn to the kind of dark side of the spiritual and the supernatural. Stuff that's a little more creepy, stuff that's a little more freaky. And we're kind of curious about that. In fact, the Bible says this, and I believe this is a big reason for it, that without Christ, our hearts are darkened. Without Christ, it's like there's a veil over your life that, yeah, the spiritual realm's there, but I can't see clearly. I'm not really sure. See, I've never encountered God. Without Christ, I've never encountered his life. I've never encountered his light. I've never encountered his truth. So although I think there's something there, I can't see clearly what that is. Ephesians 2:2 says, you used to live in sin like the rest of the world. Listen, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He goes, there is a spiritual realm. He is the spirit that's at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So without Jesus, my eyes are darkened, and I know there's something there, and his spirit is actually at work inside of me, and we get drawn into this stuff. We start to draw assumptions from a false reality. And, you know, that's why the Bible says that Jesus taught us Satan is the father of lies. Not everything that goes around about the supernatural is true, because the devil is a liar. He wants to convince you about stuff that isn't actually true. If you're interested, you want to know more about spirits, about possession, whatever, you don't miss a week. You come these next couple weeks, we'll tell you all about it. And I'll tell you some stories that'll make your hair stand up, okay, if you're into that stuff. And then on the flip side, listen, some of us, we act like none of it exists. Oh, I don't believe in that, man. That's stupid. That's kid stuff. Well, see, believing in mermaids and werewolves and vampires and ghosts, that might be a little foolish, but believing there's nothing supernatural, that would be foolish too. Because there is a spiritual realm, and there is a natural realm. And I want to unpack it a little bit tonight. I'm going to teach you a little bit, preach to you, and we're going to pray. And some of you are going to encounter the power of God tonight in reality, in your life, for the first time. I promise you this, and I'm telling you, I feel this strongly. There are two realms, and they are at war with one another. Do you know that there's a real God in heaven? Come on. Did you know there's also a real devil? And he doesn't wear a satin jumpsuit. He doesn't have a onesie. He doesn't have a pitchfork, but he's a real devil. He has real power. Now, God's more powerful than the devil, but it's real. And these two forces are in opposition to each other. He wants to take from your life, to steal, kill, destroy. The Bible says, we read just now, that he is the power at work in the hearts of people that refuse to obey God. He's a force at work in the midst of our generation. And that part of what we do when we begin to present the reality of God to people is bring a line of freedom and a way out for them from the control of the enemy. And this is so important that you recognize that there are force opposition. Do you know the devil doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny? Come on. Do you know there are real spiritual forces at work? I mean, maybe on the way to the edge. Have you ever noticed, like, when you're on your way to the edge, maybe on Saturdays seems to be like everything goes wrong in your family, in your life? I mean, you know, you broke your skateboard, then your dog died, then you accidentally sent a text message about your mom to your mom, you know, and this just goes on. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, get you all upset, and then it's time to worship, and she kids jumping around. You're like, man, I don't want to worship, you know. Well, what is it? What do you think makes you not want to worship? The enemy would love to take away your heart of focus toward God and your worship toward the Lord. There are real forces at work. Even getting ready for this series, I'm telling you, so many things have been happening in our family, in our home. 5 minutes before the service, everything turned off. You guys missed it. The minute you walked in the door, all the sound came on. We spent like 30, 45 minutes trying to get everything was working. It just shut off. No one can explain it. No one knows why. We turned everything on, turned it off, turned it on, turned it off. Then Amos led everyone in a shout, and then it came back on again. Tell you, man. The Amos Ang victory shout is a powerful thing. Now, you might put stock in that or not, but I believe in a real God. I believe there is a spiritual realm. There is a natural realm. And you need to understand that spiritual forces influence the natural realm. If you're going to have faith in God, you got to believe in the spiritual, that God has influence in my life, and he can use me as an influence. That means, you know what? Demons have real power. They have real power. There is possession. There is influence. There is authority. That means that sin is the realm of the devil. This is important for you to understand. And that's why Ephesians 2:2 says this: you used to live in sin like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. Who is it that incites me to sin? Who is the one that dwells over and rules over the domain of sin? It's the devil. And so when I begin to enter into sin in my life, it's not just that, well, I was a little naughty today. I'm actually coming under obedience to the power of the devil. Whoa. Come on. Now you wonder why. How come it feels like I don't have power in my life as a Christian? How come I can't overcome? Why can't I seem to resist things? Well, if you keep bringing your life under the authority of the devil and then trying to live your life as if you have authority from God, you're joking yourself. Come on. If you put on the uniform of another army and then you show up in your NS camp and try to function under the authority of the Singapore Armed Forces, you're going to have a problem, buddy. You're going to be in the DB before you can blink. Are you feeling me today? Come on, it doesn't work that way. And yet so many times in our life, see, we need to understand that we're giving the authority of our life to somebody else because sin is the realm of the devil. You go, what about demons? Where does he dwell? I'll tell you where the enemy dwells. He dwells in sin. He dwells in temptation. He dwells in darkness. And don't think that you can goof around and be messing around with your life in sin and darkness and expect that everything's going to work out okay for you. Sin is the realm of the devil. He doesn't just live in graveyards and haunted houses. It's in sin. Come on. It's the realm of the devil. You need to understand that God's spirit is holy. God's spirit is holy. There's a difference in the spiritual realm. See, a lot of people feel like, well, there's just the spiritual and the natural. Yeah, but even in the spiritual, there are different things at work here. You're talking about things that are right and holy and pure, and things that are oppressive and evil and wicked. Things that will lead you to disobedience, things that will lead you to obedience. Things that will bring you closer to God and freedom, and things that will help make you end up bound and afflicted and oppressed. God's spirit is holy. Some people have a faith in God, and yet the God they believe in freaks them out. They're not sure what would really happen if they got on the bad side of that God. That's not our God. Our God is holy. He's always righteous. Come on, he's always good. He's always faithful. He always loves. He's always kind. He's always for our good. I don't have to be freaked out about it. I honor him. I respect him. But God is holy. God's spirit is holy. And Acts 26 says this, that Paul begins to describe his calling. He says, you know, God called us to open their eyes so they might turn from darkness to light. Listen, from the power of Satan to God. I don't care how good you are. If you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you, the power at work in your life is not God's power. And you can know his power, but he says you need to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Then they'll receive forgiveness for their sins and a place among God's people who are set apart for faith in me. Peter says, you're not like that. You're a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, God's possession, who God called out of darkness into his wonderful light. You know what? Before you met Jesus, you were in darkness, and God brought you in to light. Anyone in here afraid of the dark? You know what? I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of things that live in the dark. there's a big difference, okay? I'm afraid of like spiders and cockroaches and stuff that could be dwelling in the darkness. We've had a little roach problem in my house lately. I blame the neighbors throwing things down the trash chute and like infesting it. I'm not really sure. But, you know, I went to get like a coffee the other day and I turned on the light. First thing I saw was like the queen mother of all cockroaches. I believe it was like the prehistoric ancestor to every roach on earth. And I was like, turn the light on and it was like, you know, did you know roaches make noise? Yeah, ours do. They're like, you know, and I was like, and got the can of bug spray and I'm like, you know, like. Because it's a scientific fact that if you scream, roaches die quicker. Come on, let me get a witness here. This is the truth. I'm telling you the truth right now. We don't play games in the edge. We come to tell you the truth. Roaches die much faster if you do that. Come on, he says, we used to be darkness. God brought us into the light. How many of you have met the light of Jesus? Come on, give me a wave tonight. Oh, make some noise. Oh, you're so quiet in here, man. You make louder shouts when you see a roach in your house than you just shouted for Jesus. Come on. How many of you met Jesus and you came to the light? Amen. He says, man, I was in darkness and God brought me into the light. So listen, there's a real spiritual realm and they influence the natural realm. But the Bible says this. Yeah, there is a real devil. There's real demons. There are real things like that. We'll talk more about it in the coming weeks. I'm not going to get deep into it tonight. But my Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Do you realize that? Jesus didn't come just so that you could have a public holiday. Jesus did not come and hang on a cross just so you'd have a nice little story to tell at Easter or Christmas. Jesus didn't come just so that you could feel a little better or attend a little Bible study. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Hey, my God knows that there are real forces at work. Jesus knew there was real darkness at work inside of our heart, that these things, it is impossible for me to break free on my own. Without Christ, it's impossible for me to obey God. I'm bound up by my own imperfection. I'm bound up by these other forces. But thank God, Jesus came and rendered all of that powerless on the cross. He didn't just take my sin. He defeated the power of darkness. The Bible says he conquered every enemy. He crucified it. He began to make a public spectacle of forces of darkness and prove that there was victory in his name. Somebody shout amen if you believe that. Come on. Write this down. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says this. When we keep on sinning, look at your neighbor and say, stop sinning, sucker. It says, when we keep on sinning, it shows that we belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. Everyone say, uh-oh. Thought this was going to be a cute little like sermon about leprechauns and stuff. No, I'm getting in your face tonight. Listen, when we keep on sinning, it shows we belong to who? The devil who's been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the work of the devil. So he's saying, why would you want to give your life to sin, the very thing that Jesus came to destroy? Why would I want to live my life bound up in forces that Jesus came to render powerless? Why would I give my life to that? Once I've had that life, once I've had that freedom, some of you have been messing around with one foot in the kingdom and one foot out for too long. One hand holding God and one hand holding onto the devil for too long. You thought you were just holding the hand of some little habit that you had, holding the hand of some girl that you like. No, you're holding the hand of the devil because the devil is the father of everyone who sins, the Bible says. And I got to learn to discern and understand this. He came to destroy the work of the devil. That means he overthrows the influence and work of the devil in our life. Check this out. You don't have power over darkness. Do you realize that? Have you ever been a little freaked out? You try to like, man, I don't know, I'm kind of scared of this. People do weird stuff when they're scared. I've heard even Christians do crazy stuff, man. You ever tried to be powerful over darkness? You get some like holy water. Start putting crosses everywhere, you know. You're walking around with garlic on your neck. I mean, have you seen people try to be powerful over darkness? Some people pray, like the louder I pray, the more powerful I get. In the name of Jesus! Dude, what do you think is happening in hell when you do that? Like the devil's like, oh my gosh, he's shouting. He's really serious. Everyone go, run, scatter. Come on. He's not afraid of your shout. You don't have power over darkness. You can't ward it off. You can't ignore it. But Jesus has authority over darkness. Come on. I read this as I was preparing for this series, and I thought this was so true. This writer said this. He says, demons have real power. And he says, demons and forces of darkness are more powerful than humans, than us. But God is more powerful than them. And I thought, man, I like that. I really like that. And so there's a difference when I say Jesus is alive in me, like we sang about tonight. There's power in that, see? There's no demon in hell that's afraid of me, but Jesus has all authority. The Bible says Jesus didn't have to go around asking people, do you have a demon? Do you have a demon? Do you have a demon? When he would show up places, demon-possessed people would run to him and bow down at his feet and say, leave us alone. There's no conflict. Is Jesus greater? No, there's no issue here. There's no argument. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Come on. He destroyed the works of the devil. This is our God. So I don't care what you've faced in your life. What kind of superstitions you've had. Maybe you've had some strange supernatural experiences. Can I tell you, there is a God who is greater than any darkness on this planet. Some of our hearts are so darkened. We've been away from God for so long. We've lived lives that are just ignorant of the things of God as if he doesn't exist. But I'm telling you, God is greater than even the darkness in your heart. Jesus has power to break through for you. He doesn't just come to make you feel a little better. The Bible says he makes you brand new. I don't just need a heart that's washed and clean. I need a new heart. I need a new mind. I need a new attitude. And when I begin to put my faith and trust in Jesus, he comes and makes me a new person from the inside out. And that's why you and I have to make a decision. Once I have faith in him, I'm not going back to the old person I used to be. The old one was in darkness. The old one dwelt in sin. The old one was confused. The old one was mad. Why would I ever go back to that again? And you see, today is a day when you can begin to choose freedom. You need to understand that salvation itself is a supernatural work. Do you realize that? Salvation is not just going to church. Salvation is something supernatural. Salvation is paranormal. It's above the ordinary in our life. In salvation, I am delivered from darkness into light. I can't do that on my own. I can't make that happen. Salvation brings freedom. Everyone shout freedom. Come on, shout it. Say freedom. It brings freedom in my heart. You know, you could sing about freedom, but you can't counterfeit real freedom in your life. Only you know when there's a freedom and a liberty to live before God. When there's a freedom and a confidence that God is with you. When there's a freedom and a confidence that you know God has set you free. That there's nothing holding you back. That you're not concerned and scared about what might be coming next. Or what did God really think about? There's real freedom inside my heart. That is a work that is supernatural in my life. It's a work of salvation. Romans 5:6 says, when we were utterly helpless, Jesus came, Christ came at just the right time, and he died for us sinners. Isn't that cool? He says, you know when Jesus came for you? Not when you looked good, not when you got dressed up, not when you came to church, when you and I were powerless. We did not have the power to change ourselves. Jesus came, and he had the power to change us. Come on, amen. And when we put our faith in him, he places his spirit or his presence inside of us. So you know what happens when I put my faith in Jesus? The Bible says he comes and he dwells in me. The Holy Spirit begins to live in me. The Holy Spirit, his presence is an influence in my life so that the influence in my life would come from God instead of dark things. Come on. You go, man, I couldn't help it. I can't help myself. Well, then you got a major problem because are you saying you're more powerful than the Holy Spirit in your life? Who is the influence in your life? Who is the one bringing influence in you? Is the influence of your life coming from God? Man, when God's presence fills my heart, he doesn't control me. I'm not a robot for God, but he begins to influence me. All of a sudden, I have power to forgive because he influences me to forgive. Right? All of a sudden, I have power to have peace when I shouldn't really have peace. Why? Because he's an influence in my life. The Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, his presence. I mean, imagine it. The Holy Spirit wants to come in your life and be an influence. And a lot of times when we think about the paranormal, the supernatural, yeah, we think about the dark things. We'll talk about that a little more in the coming weeks. But what about God? What about the Holy Spirit that he's given to us? That the Holy Spirit is not just something to experience at a service or at a meeting like this. The Holy Spirit is there to be an influence inside your life. Do you know you're not alone? Come on, you're not powerless, and you're not a victim. The Holy Spirit wants to come in and dwell inside your life. And I thank God every day, man. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for his presence inside my life that when I don't know what to do, I can turn to him. He's with me wherever I go. I'm so thankful that God actually chooses to bring his presence near my life, that I don't have to worry about an unclean presence or some evil presence. I have the presence of God inside my life every single day. Come on, he gives me strength. He gives me wisdom. You know what the Holy Spirit, let me give you these couple things as the band comes and we're going to pray. The Holy Spirit enables you to walk in freedom. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Because he enables us to walk in freedom. Galatians 5:16 says, I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. How many of you know that not everything that we desire is good for us? You know, I had a McSpicy right before the edge, and right now there's a paranormal activity going on inside my stomach. Not everything we desire is good for us. Sometimes there's a desire that would lead you to sin. But he says, why don't you let the Holy Spirit guide your life? Not force your life, but guide your life. That the Holy Spirit would say, maybe there's a desire. Man, this is where I want to go. It actually is a path of darkness. It's actually something going to lead me into sin. And the Holy Spirit can say, why don't you take this path instead? It opens up an option of freedom that before I knew Jesus, I didn't have a way out. I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to my own desires. But all of a sudden, God's presence comes in and says, no, you know what? I can help you. I can enable you to overcome. Maybe you felt powerless to resist these things. Maybe you felt powerless to overcome. Maybe you've been worried about things of darkness coming in your life. Listen, the Holy Spirit is God's influence in your life. So that you don't have to just follow the cravings and desires of your heart, but you could respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit gives us power. Everyone say power. He gives us power. Acts 1:8 says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That, man, when the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, it wouldn't just be a nice little service. You would receive, come on, power. There would come a strength. There would come a might. There would come the ability to overcome things that would have taken me out earlier. There would come a true power, an ability to stand strong for God, a power to be an influence for God, a power to break through things where before I got stuck and I couldn't really shake these things in my life, but the Holy Spirit begins to give me power. Come on, he gives me power to look a little more like Jesus. He gives me power to be a witness in my generation. Hey, I'm kind of introverted, man. I like to stay by myself. But you know what? The Holy Spirit gives me power to get up and be a voice to my generation. It's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he speaks to me, just tells me, gives me creative ideas, helps me know what I need to do. The Holy Spirit gives us power. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He identifies us as God's. This is why the Holy Spirit's so important. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, it's God who establishes us with you in Christ. And has anointed us, and has also, listen, put his seal on us. Now, we don't have seals anymore, but in ancient times, if you wanted to send a letter, you would put a bit of wax there and stick a ring or like a seal in it. And so it would be unbroken, and you know who it came from. And he says, the Holy Spirit is like a seal on your life from God. He says he's given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee that when the Holy Spirit is in you, it's like God put his seal on you and said, hey, you're mine. Hey, you belong to me. You don't belong to that darkness. You don't belong to that other stuff, but you belong to me. You're mine. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're part of my family now. That's what the Holy Spirit begins to do in our life. And you see, you and I aren't to be filled with other things or under the influence of other spirits. We are to be filled with God's Spirit. Come on, we're to be filled with God's Spirit. And when you're filled with God's Spirit, all of a sudden anything's possible because nothing's impossible with God. Miracles, come on, healings, salvation, supernatural faith, wisdom coming in your life. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit wants to come and begin to enable you to do things that naturally seem impossible. Maybe people said, you can't do it. You're not good enough. I don't think this can happen. But the Holy Spirit can come upon you and enable you to do things that normally would be impossible. Come on, amen. I can think of so many times the Holy Spirit has come and spoken and something supernatural has begun to take place. Come on, amen. I want you to put your notes away, and we're going to get ready to pray tonight. We're just going to begin to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. Before we do, if you're here tonight...